presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
You know, college football, by its essence, is essentially an emotional experience, right? The wins fill you with great joy, the losses fill you with great sadness, and the little pieces of news along the way can have a similar response. Georgia gets a big-time recruit, everybody's really happy. Georgia loses a player off of its roster. People are not quite so happy about that. And yet, in the aftermath of what we think we know now, that it looks like a former five-star signee, the linebacker Brenton Cox, has been dismissed from the Georgia roster, I think some of the reaction to this is probably overstated for reasons I'm going to get into over the course of the program. Let me kind of give you the timeline of how we get to where we are right now, though. It all starts yesterday, and our buddy Connor Riley was there for the Dan Lanning press conference. Mike Griffith was also there as well, but Mike's always in Athens. Connor was there with him yesterday, was able to record this for video. You can check this out on the Dog Nation video channels. At the end of new Georgia defensive coordinator Dan Lanning's press conference, a question's asked to him about Brenton Cox. Hey, what are you expecting from Brenton Cox here this year? A little bit of a shaky spring, maybe, but a lot of promise, a lot of athleticism. What are you expecting from him? And the answer was quite cryptic from Lanning. Here is what the Georgia defensive coordinator had to say about that.
You know, that's a good question. I would actually leave that up to Coach Smart at this time.
It was shortly after that that the Rivals website, UGASports.com, reported that Cox had been dismissed from the team. A number of websites followed suit on that to say that he had entered the transfer portal, and then we saw with our own eyes Cox not at practice yesterday, seemingly giving credence to a lot of those reports. It seems fairly apparent now that in one form or fashion, either because of his own doing or because Georgia, you know, moved on from him, that Brenton Cox is no longer on this UGA roster. And I think most Georgia fans will probably agree with this, that Georgia at the outside linebacker position is still likely to be fine. I mean, based on what we saw at the end of spring practice with Jermaine Johnson and Nolan Smith heavily featured on G-Day, there was a chance that Brenton Cox was not going to be the primary starter at one of these outside linebacker positions anyway. When you start looking at the other depth in that position group, whether it be Adam Anderson, who people still have high hopes for, Azeez Ojulari, who I think's the hopes with him have really blossomed in this calendar year, going back to the way that he performed in the Sugar Bowl and the things that were said about Azeez during spring practice, I think he's in a much better position in terms of his stature within the program than he was before. Georgia is, in other words, very deep at the outside linebacker position. Most Georgia fans will kind of concede that. Most Georgia fans will say, yeah, the dog should probably in some form or fashion be fine. But then there's the but that comes in. Then there's the, yeah, but what about the fact this 2018 signing class, which was ranked number one at the time, what about the fact that Georgia's now lost Brenton Cox off that team, Justin Fields off that team, Luke Ford off that team? What about the fact that one of your five-star signees that you brought in didn't pan out? What about the fact that, you know, somehow, some way, that the Georgia culture just didn't seem to click with him, or he didn't seem to click with the Georgia culture, even though a lot of Georgia fans assume the Dogs will still be fine at the outside linebacker position? There is still this thought that, man, it's disappointing, and it is, to go back to the statement I made off the top of the program, it's a bit of a loss anytime one of these guys exits the program before he really makes his mark. And here's the point I want to try to make in response to that. That there's really very little you can do to control what happens to a player once they get on the Georgia roster. Some of the guys look like Brenton Cox does, and I'll tell you, coming out of high school, you know, I think he was one of the most impressive, you know, looking players I'd seen. Physically seemed to be in great shape before he even enrolled at UGA. He had the look of someone who was going to really make it and really pop during his time at Georgia. But once they get on the roster, there's not a whole lot you can do to control what happens to them then. The only thing that you can control is make sure you've got a lot of guys that look like Brenton Cox so that you can just play the odds, so that you can just play the ratio and ultimately have this work out well for you. I mean, this is kind of a cumbersome analogy, but now, if you look at these big online behemoths like Google and Facebook, they charge these exorbitant rates for ads, even though like 90-something percent of the people that see those ads will never click on them. And you wonder, well, how do they make all that money if the overwhelming majority of the people who see those ads don't click on them? The simple answer is the few people that will click on them are worth enough money to the businesses to pay for the ads that it all works out. Smart businesses just simply play the odds. And Georgia of football is now a smart business as well, and it's also playing the odds. You bring in a guy like Brenton Cox, you don't know if he's doing well or not, going to do well or not. That's why you put an Adam Anderson beside him. That's why you put an Azeez Ojulari beside him. That's why you put a Robert Beal in the class before him, a Walter Grant in the class before him. That's why you bring in a Nolan Smith and a Jermaine Johnson in the class behind him. You don't know if any of those guys are going to pan out. The one thing that you do know for sure is all of them won't. It won't be unanimous 100%. Every single one of these guys is as good as we expected them to be. You simply stack up the impressive prospects, and then you simply play the odds beyond that. And to take this a step further, I think there's a point to be made here that Georgia winning the recruiting battle for Brenton Cox is a good thing for the program, despite the fact that the player they were fighting over apparently has turned out not to be worth the trouble. You want to be the kind of program that can go head-to-head in a recruiting battle like Brenton Cox and win that. Let me just take you back in time here. Go back to, and we did a lot of, you know, walk back through history yesterday. Let's go back to the very early days of this program on video, way back in, I guess it would have been summer of 2017. Talking about Brenton Cox at the time, we brought in a guy, Jeremy Birmingham, who was covering Ohio State recruiting, had covered Ohio State recruiting for a long time, and he laid out really in pretty clear terms of just how much a serious threat to Georgia, Ohio State was for Brenton Cox. Listen to this for a moment as a reminder of how contested this recruitment once was.
We've known for a while it's pretty much an Ohio State and Georgia race. But his parents had not been up to Ohio, and he got his chance to get his mom up to Columbus this weekend. And from all accounts, talking to him, she really loved it up there and really had a really good rapport with Urban Meyer.
So listen, the mom's going up to Ohio. She likes it there. At one point in time, Brenton Cox was pretty clear that he thought the Ohio State program was the one that could get him to the NFL, and that's who Georgia was battling for. And then later on, after Berm said that, and I tried to find this audio clip, I just couldn't find it, Alabama suddenly enters the fray. I mentioned this yesterday when we did our DN90 video when the Cox news first occurred, that when Alabama found out it was going to be in the playoff in 2017, the guy that used to work with us that covered Alabama recruiting, Chris Gerstner, came on our program and said that by invitation of Saban and Alabama, Brenton Cox was at Alabama sitting side by side with Saban when they watched that TV show there that day. When Alabama somewhat surprisingly made the college football playoff, Cox was there with Saban to enjoy and watch all of that. That's how much of a priority Alabama made Brenton Cox down to the wire for that class of 2018. And Georgia ultimately won that recruiting battle. Now, for Brenton Cox, it looks like that's not going to pay off. For Georgia and its efforts with Cox, it looks like that's not going to pay off. But Georgia sets itself up in the rare category of elite recruiters by simply being able to go head-to-head with Ohio State and winning that battle, and being able to go head-to-head with Alabama and also winning that battle as well. As I said before, ultimately, there's not a whole lot you can do to control what happens to these players when they get on campus. For some players, college life is overwhelming. For some players, the bright lights of SEC football are going to be overwhelming. And for some players, they just may not be quite as good as they looked in high school. Ultimately, the scouting process is kind of an inexact science. But what's not inexact is the playing of the percentages, of bringing in enough players that look like Brenton Cox, that could potentially perform like Brenton Cox. Because if you stack up enough of those, eventually you're going to have the kind of roster that's able to compete for championships. And that is seemingly exactly what Georgia has done. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Hello to you, and thanks for being with us today. Live on video, 10 a.m. Dog Nation. Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, on the radio at noon, on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. And we are available as a podcast wherever you find them, including the world-famous DogNation.com. I want to make a couple of announcements. It's really more like an announcement and a half, because I don't know that I quite have full clearance on this yet, but just know this, that if you missed out on your chance to be with us, Dog Nation, when we were out and about here this summer, you got a big opportunity coming up really in just a few days. We're going to tell you more about that as we get closer to it. Our big season kickoff event is coming up, and it's going to involve the entire Dog Nation team. It's going to be a ton of fun. Last year, we had hundreds of people on hand for this. This year, the expectation is to be even bigger and better. We will tell you about that. So this month, plan on being with Dog Nation for a huge event coming up. Also, let me tell you about this just for a moment. Later on today, after we have Jeff Sintel as part of our Marlowe's Tavern Insider Update, We're going to start on video here, something we released on the website yesterday. We're going to do our Own the East video series presented by my friends at Georgia's Own Credit Union. Now, if you've been around for a couple of years, you know what Own the East is. It's our way of looking at what it's going to take for the Dogs to get it done here this upcoming season. Georgia's obviously dominated the division the last couple of years, and this year in 2019, it wants to do even more than that. It wants to win a national championship. But as I have said, I believe the first step towards getting that done is taking care of your business in the SEC East. That traditional path of winning the division, getting to the SEC championship, winning there, and punching that ticket to the college football playoff. And getting that done means going through the East first. We also believe around here that it's kind of a nice thing to be able to say that Georgia can expect to dominate this division year in and year out. This is not a one-year thing. This is not a two-year thing. This is the kind of thing that we expect to see happen for years and years to come. But how does it get done this year? Well, we'll make the case over the course of the next 19 or so videos why Georgia's in a great position here in 2019 to do things the program has not done before. We'll do that as part of our Own the East video series. Later on in our program today, in fact, with my buddy John Stinchcomb, the great former Georgia Bulldog, we're going to look at why Georgia has not just one, but potentially two Heisman Trophy contenders here in 2019, and we'll explain exactly why that makes Georgia such a legitimate contender here this upcoming season. That's coming up later on today on Dog Nation Daily. Before that, though, let me also spend another minute talking about the two coordinators, the brand new, newly minted coordinators for the Georgia Bulldogs. Dan Lanning, the defensive coordinator, James Coley, the offensive coordinator. They both met with the media yesterday, and really the news cycle got swallowed up by what turned out to be Brenton Cox Day and his apparent departure from the UGA roster. But over the course of the next few days, we're going to kind of get into more detail about some of the things that Lanning had to say, some of the things that Coley had to say. In particular, some of the stuff I saw from Coley I thought was really interesting, a potential window into how this Georgia offense might work here this year. But as a taste of that, to kind of get us going on that, let me let you hear a brief clip from both of these guys right now, and you'll hear a lot more of this to come, both when you read DogNation.com or when you listen in or watch here on Dog Nation Daily. If you don't mind, let me start with Dan Lanning for a moment, because I thought Lanning said something really funny. First of all, Lanning steps up to the podium to meet yesterday, and he's got that hoarse-sounding voice. Now, I've coached my kids' Little League teams and things like that. I will say there is nothing that's worse on your voice than trying to coach. Be outside and coaching, and I've done enough of this to know, whether it be in a gym for basketball or in a baseball field or something like that. I haven't coached football, but I've coached enough sports to know that you're just yelling the whole time. It's not screaming and yelling. It's just being loud so people can hear you. So I kind of feel for Lanning having the hoarse voice, but he did say something kind of funny about that I want you to hear, and boy, he shows a lot of enthusiasm for the job he gets to do this season. I like this from Lanning. Let me give you a taste of it as a part of Dog Nation Daily.
I want to apologize in advance. My Coach Smart gets to carry a microphone around at practice. I don't, and we've been doing a lot of encouraging out there. So, excited. I think this is every coach's favorite time of year. We really enjoy the opportunity to work for our guys, and this is really why you get in the profession, the opportunity to teach. Obviously, extremely grateful to Coach Smart for the opportunity to be here at the University of Georgia and work with the collective unit of coaches that we get to work with. We've got a phenomenal staff. They do a really good job, and we're really fortunate to get to coach some really, really good players. So
a couple things about that. First of all, I just think it's really funny how he says, yeah, we've been out there doing a lot of encouraging, and that's why my voice is so hoarse. Now, I haven't been able to go out and visit a Georgia practice yet this summer, but I know Connor Riley has been there. I don't know that I would always describe what goes on at these practices as encouraging necessarily. Sometimes it's of the tough love variety, which any good football coach will do, but nonetheless, it's really funny to hear Lanning say it that way. Yeah, we've been encouraging these guys pretty intensely out there. And so, therefore, I'm a little hoarse right now. I think that's funny. The other thing that comes to mind about all of this is, Lanning's last anonymous day was yesterday, right? Now he's the defensive coordinator at Georgia. And as cool of an opportunity as that is, and as generous as it was for Kirby Smart to give this young coach that chance, it's also a completely life-altering moment for Lanning, as he will now get the spotlight on him for what the defense does or doesn't do. The good news is he seems cut from the same cloth of Kirby Smart. He seems like he's going to embrace that fame and embrace that challenge. And boy, it's easy to understand that, you know, he got this promotion because of the energy that he brings to the table, and I look forward to watching him instill more of that into the Georgia defense. Also, when it comes to excitement about a new role, it's James Coley. Now, Coley's been a big part of the Georgia story for a while, but now he gets full control over the playing, calling duties. How big of a deal is that for him? Well, here's what Coley said about that yesterday.
I think I never lost my excitement. Every challenge is new, you know. Every coordinator job is new. Every position job is new. The people that you're around calls that to be new. The environment, the time that you're in currently. But yeah, you know, when you get the opportunity, you're excited. But then you jump into it, and then the excitement kind of, it is what it is, right? It's what you do. So, being that's what you do work, and you don't really pine. I don't sit down there at night going, "Wow, how great!" No, I'm down there at night going through scripts.
So, listen, he talks about his own excitement for that job. I think one of the things you hear from a lot of Georgia fans is their excitement about him. There are some new wrinkles they're hoping to see from the Georgia offense, and they believe that James Coley might be the coach to be able to deliver that. It'll be fun to watch the development of these two units with these two new guys in control, and obviously we'll look forward to hearing a bunch more from them in their press conference yesterday this week as part of Dog Nation Daily. But for now, though, let's turn our attention back to UGA recruiting, including where Georgia goes now. It apparently has an extra scholarship to play around with. Let's do our Marlowe's Tavern Insider Update and welcome in Jeff Sintel.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com Insider.
We are obviously going to talk a lot about UGA recruiting, and there's been some interesting wrinkles to get to and maybe some about to emerge here too. Before we do any of that, though, you know, yesterday we did celebrate show number 1,000 for us here on Dog Nation Daily. And, you know, obviously the guy on air that's contributed to this show more so than anybody else, we joked he's probably been on at least 400 times or so, and some of those conversations have stretched close to a half an hour, is our buddy Jeff Sintel. Jeff also wrote an incredibly nice piece about me and my family yesterday for DogNation.com, which I'm sure my wife's probably already framed, and she certainly should. It was an incredible story from a great writer, and it made me proud to be included in the conversation. So, Jeff, before we get too into the recruiting stuff, let me just take a moment to say thank you. Thank you for your contribution to our show. Thank you for helping us mark 1,000 days for Dog Nation Daily. That meant a ton to me to have you such a part of, and I just wanted to make sure our audience heard me thank you publicly here.
Brandon, hey, man, I sincerely appreciate it. You're most welcome. Just trying to do a little Jerry Maguire there for a five-star dude, a five-star friend, a five-star teammate, and maybe not a five-star mathematician, because I think a lot of them stretch past 30 minutes.
Yeah, that is probably true, and today may be one of those days, too, where there's kind of a lot to talk about. Let me start with the Brenton Cox part of this first, and the point that I made before you got here, now that it does seem apparent that the initial news reports were correct and Cox is no longer going to be on the Georgia roster, what I said, Jeff, is if you're a Georgia fan, you want the Dogs to win these kinds of recruiting battles, even in the moments where the player ends up not being worth the trouble. And for Brenton Cox, that kind of seems like the case. In the 2018 class, all of a sudden, well, gosh, now there's like three guys off that class. They're no longer in the Georgia roster. As a fan, I don't sweat that at all, and I'm not worried about that at all. The point I think fans ought to get worried is if the program's not bringing in these kinds of players and not stockpiling enough of them to be able to withstand the natural attrition that's going to occur in such a competitive environment. So ultimately, first and foremost, I think Georgia winning the recruitment for Cox was still a win for the program, even though the player's not going to make that big of an impact in a Georgia uniform. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, and here's what I guess – I'm going to sound like I'm from the South here. Here's what gets in my craw a little bit. It's like when people are quick to tee up that 2018 class and basically, you know, describe the fallout from what's happening so far with that class. And sure, the numbers indicate that there's a five-star quarterback, there's a near five-star tight end, and now there's another five-star defensive end that have moved on from the Georgia program. But, I mean, Brandon, that's just part of the deal. I think the reason why all these five stars are stacked up and all these players are stacked up is that in some ways it is a galvanizing mechanism to make sure the number one or the first or second teamer just doesn't look down at that third teamer and think, I'm worlds of ability ahead of this guy.
Right.
I only need to do my thing, stay in my lane, and I'm going to get my reps. That is not the environment that Kirby Smart and this program is building, and that's not the forge that will make these players ultimately as great as those ratings aspire them to be. I can drop an example. You know, Brenton Cox was the nation's number two strong side defensive end that year. The number one, a gentleman named Yabi Anoma, he went to Alabama. He flirted back and forth with a portal back in the spring, and now he's leaving Alabama again to go to Houston, of all places. So it's not just happening at Georgia. The one thing that I think is becoming more than just random sampling or blips on the radar is we're learning this about. We're learning this about Georgia. We're learning about Georgia with Kirby Smart. And it is, when you're a big-time player and you're not playing yet, the culture of work sometimes leads some of these young men to go astray. And what you're seeing here, there's an example from the 2017 class, is when you're not the guy and you're not playing right away, then some unhappiness is going to set in. Where in other cases, I can think of guys like Amir Speed, I can think of Mr. Breeny, I can think of William Poole. They're content to just embrace the process, embrace the work, and just go on. And I think that's just part of the issue. It's the same way you would recruit to deal with a devastating injury. And you look at a guy like Cox, I mean, sure, he's tremendously talented. You throw Walter Grant back into that mix at outside linebacker now. You have Jermaine Johnson, you have Zizo Jalari, you have Nolan Smith, you have Adam Anderson. You suddenly, including Mr. Robert Beal, another five-star. I don't even know if you could say at the outside linebacker spot where he was fourth or fifth or sixth team right now.
Mm-hmm.
I know those coaches are not speculating on who's one and who's two and who's three. There's a lot of guys in that room, a lot of Sunday players in that room, where it seemed to me like Brenton Cox's ultimate position was going to be at a strong side defensive end, you know, kind of like the Jonathan Ledbetter role that was occupied so well last year.
Yeah, that's interesting. Obviously, his size would give him a chance to do that. And as you mentioned before, his profile coming out of high school, that was kind of the position fit he was for that sport. But obviously, these guys change once they get to college all the time. So now with Brenton Cox apparently gone, is it as simple as saying with that now available scholarship, Georgia will look to fill that with someone that does something similar to what he did? Either now it's all of a sudden more important to get a Jordan Burge, or is an opportunity opened up for a guy like B.J. Ojulari, the brother of Aziz Ojulari, who's currently on the UGA roster, B.J. At Marriott High School where Aziz came from. Is it simple enough to just draw a straight line from Cox is gone, let's go in the 2020 class and see Georgia get a player that looks a lot like Brenton Cox?
I don't think so, Brandon. I don't think that's as simple as that. I think the scholarships were already scattered, smothered, and covered full anyway. But you've got to consider that Georgia's going to have to count Eli Wolf and Lawrence Cager as 2020 scholarships right off the top. Of course, the major number is 85, and Cox's departure through the portal will move Georgia down to, I believe, 83, according to our counting of the scholarship tally right now for Georgia. I believe that moves them down to 83. But I just think it opens up doors maybe a little bit more for a guy like Zacchaeus Walker. And I don't think it's an easy fit there with B.J. Ojulari, although I'm very impressed, and I project him to be a fine player. But if you want to be real, B.J. Ojulari doesn't really have the size, kind of like Adam Anderson. He doesn't have the size to both set the edge at Georgia, hold up against the run, and then play in space and rush the passer. He's going to look great rushing the passer at an opening event right there, and I think he's a fine football player, an elite football player for this class. But I look at Georgia, I look at what they're trying to build there and what they already have there, and I don't see a way for him to play any earlier than 2 years at Georgia. And if he does come in at Georgia, he would have to be dealing with one Mekhi Sherman as well as an outside linebacker for playing time, even in the 2020 class, much less all those hordes of stars that are there at Georgia now.
It's our Marlowe's Tavern Insider Update, and I'd invite you to let Marlowe's make your day. You know, it's the kind of place you can go for a great lunch, and Marlowe's has got a great one. My favorite's probably the burger for lunch. I like the shrimp and grits for dinner. Burger might go to there for lunch, but you can also let that lunch, especially out here in this patio season, kind of roll right into a happy hour. It's a perfect day to spend at Marlowe's Tavern, because at Marlowe's Tavern, it's all in the twist. whether it be the craft cocktails, the chef-inspired food, or really anything like that. We're looking forward to being at some Marlowe's Taverns this upcoming season, and I would invite you to check out the one right there in your neighborhood to find out what the twist at Marlowe's really is all about. All right, Jeff, with all of that said, now I've got like 9,000 questions for you on a four-star running back Tank Bigsby. Let me start in the simplest terms possible. He let it be known on Twitter that he plans to announce his college commitment on Friday on local TV station here in Atlanta. My assumption is, based on the fact that his most recent visit was not to Georgia, my assumption is that Bigsby, despite the fact that he's been talked about by Kendall Milton, and we've obviously talked in, about him here on the show, you've written about him for DogNation.com, but my assumption on Friday is that Bigsby's not choosing Georgia. Do you share that assumption?
Brandon, I would say that the new crystal ball you purchased for your desk there for show 1001, I'd say that's pretty spot on right now. I would say that it's not foggy. You got the batteries installed properly. Maybe Connor Riley helps you behind the glass with that, getting the batteries inside. But right now, all those funny tweets, those thank me laters, those you guys aren't ready, I don't think those were referring to one Tank Bigsby.
So with that in mind, is this good news or bad news for UGA?
Tank Bigsby, good or bad news?
Well, I'm saying, or the fact that Georgia's not getting Bigsby on Friday, at least that's what the tea leaves seem to suggest, is that then good news because it means that Georgia is in a better position than some might have thought with Zachary Evans, or is it bad news in that Georgia's pursuit of Evans has cost them a chance to get a running back they likely could have got?
Well, Brandon, I just say these are the facts we know and that we can share, and that's that Kendall Milton was recruiting two guys to the University of Georgia. Those were the two main guys he was working on, at least publicly. And if one of those guys is not trending towards Athens, Georgia, it would seem to indicate that the long game with the other gentleman appears to be very fruitful at this time.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, and I would certainly seem to believe that there as well, but there's, I guess, also the thought of, hey, you know, maybe Evans, and I'm just playing devil's advocate for just to further the conversation, you should understand that. There's also the potential thought of, is that this scenario is not currently being controlled by Georgia, that Evans being on campus a couple of weekends ago, Bigsby going elsewhere, I'm guessing, you know, Auburn was the place he was at that weekend, I'm guessing Auburn holds the cards for this Friday as well, that this is an example of Bigsby just getting tired of waiting on Georgia. I'm not sure that's my opinion on this, but to play devil's advocate, that's the other scenario. The one scenario might be, well, Georgia feels so good about Zachary Evans that Bigsby's going to be allowed to go elsewhere. The other thing is Georgia's been flirting too much with Evans in Bigsby's eyes, so therefore he's no longer going to wait on UGA. There is a chance that he's the one that's controlling the scenario, isn't there?
Well, there is also the thought that he hasn't taken a visit to Georgia since at least before the opening. I think he got a late June visit in. And I think the way that this is the way we chopped it up on the forum a little bit this morning, Brandon, is I think things will be great for Georgia with the 2020 running back class and its recruiting. Of course, Milton is now steadfast in the fold. And let's just go rapid fire with a few things, Brandon. Would you be happy if the eventual running back is the running back tandem includes Zachary Evans, yes or no?
Of course. Of course.
Would you be happy if the running back tandem includes Marshawn Lloyd, yes or no?
Yeah, I think I probably would.
Would you be happy with if the running back tandem even includes a flip like a Don Chaney Jr.?
Yeah, I think based on what I think I know about him, that's probably a pretty good back there as well. I mean, as long as you've got the guy that's in the fold right now, Milton, there are potentially a number of backs that you could put with him and things would be fine.
And I guess there's also the possibility that whatever might happen with a South Carolina season affecting Lloyd or an Auburn season or a South Carolina season affecting Bigsby, I guess you would be happy if Georgia finds itself in a late push to try and flip Tank Bigsby as well, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right, and that's, you know, certainly something that we could see playing out. And listen, I think you and I are in agreement on this, or at least I have grown to be in agreement on this, that despite the fact that typically I'm somewhat risk averse, that I would take the recruiting win I knew I could get more so than rolling the dice for one that may be 50-50 at best. When you're competing with the Alabamas and the Clemsons of the world, that does put you in a position where you have to just be aggressive. And obviously, Zachary Evans, the more aggressive choice, and only those behind the scenes, truly, I mean the players themselves, the coaches at UGA, only they know how realistic this all is and you know, how much Evans is influenced by the push that he's getting from Georgia, but it is probably a risk worth taking. Now, with all of that said, let me bring in something else that we talked about on our program yesterday, and you briefly referenced a moment ago. There was a lot of social media chatter from some UGA commits. You mentioned Kendall Milton saying to Georgia fans, y'all gonna thank me later. There was Chad Lindbergh, who seemingly had some excitement there as well. Jeff, are you willing, and you got to add Tate Ratledge into that too, who kind of gave you a Kirby Smart-esque go dogs on his Twitter. Are you in a position to speculate on what these guys might be referencing? Were they all referencing the same thing? I mean, I don't have to tell you that because of what Milton said in the past, some people may assume that was about Evans. Because Lindbergh is a fellow Texan, some people may assume that Lindbergh was also referencing Zachary Evans. But there is not a single fact to back any of that up. That is wild, reckless speculation. Can you add anything to what those guys may have been talking about? Because they were clearly talking about something.
Brennan, I would say something great, some things great has happened for the University of Georgia over the last few days, and you will thank Kendall Milton later.
Well, now you got to give me more than that now. I mean, are we talking about, you know, something along the lines of if Georgia gets what some people might perceive as a second piece of bad news this week? Now, I'm saying from a 10,000-foot perspective, if Bigsby were to choose somewhere else, is this Kirby Smart pushing a commit button to change that news cycle? I mean, is it the kind of thing that you could expect to see happen sooner than that?
I think it's. I don't think it's the typical redirection, good news, bad news, PR. I think some firm thoughts were expressed with some degree of finality on multiple major targets in this class. And I would say, in the give me more than that, just because you just turned 1,000, sir, I would just say that as much of these things can be crystal or made apparent in August, the Georgia thought of moving that number up to 5, 6, 7, 5 stars, I think it picked up a lot of weight of late.
Boy, that's an exciting thing to think about. And I do think, Jeff, that this 2020 class is in a very fun position in that, you know, Milton's got a lot of charisma, right? And recruits want to follow, follow in his footsteps. There's Mekhi Sherman, who I think, you know, he almost becomes out of sight, out of mind because he's been committed for such a long time. But it was his initial charisma that also seemed to be a pretty strong catalyst for this 2020 class. And you know, you've got guys kind of floating on the periphery, not committed, like Keely Ringo. And Ringo, while he's not, you know, a public pledge to UGA, we don't, you know, fully know where he's going to go. He certainly talked enough about Georgia on social media. That's also kind of helped develop this firestorm here a little bit. This is definitely, to me, a personality-driven 2020 class. And, you know, some of these mysteries may take a while to fall into place, but if you're a Georgia fan, you do like the idea that a lot of this truck is seemingly being driven right now by guys who just cultivate the kind of relationships other players want to be a part of.
So here's what's funny, Brandon, to me. I won't have a guffaw or chortle or a cackle or anything like this, but it's kind of funny how a couple of tweets get everybody like coming out of the woodwork, popping out of the brush, and you know, ready to go throw a party. But in reality, did we not hear from Kendall Milton's own mouth that I'm thinking this class will be top two, and I don't mean two either. Well, the only way Georgia surpasses a Clemson, Ohio State seems to be fading, a Clemson, an LSU, an Alabama for the brass ring in the 2020 class is a lot of those five stars. They show up on our Hedges top 10 targets list all the time. A lot of those five stars do eventually pop for Georgia.
Yeah, that's really something. That is really, really something. It's going to be fun to watch. You mentioned the form a little earlier. I'll remind folks it's a great place to get those bite-sized pieces of Sintel Intel every day, or certainly so many times throughout the day. It's forum.dognation.com to get more information on that. We'll have Before the Hedges presented by Kroger tomorrow with a lot more of this kind of fun stuff on where things may be going with the 2020 class. But Jeff, before we let you go, let me just say one more time, thanks for being a part of our Marlowe's Tavern Insider Update today. Folks, check out the tavern right there in your neighborhood for patio season, for those craft cocktails, chef-inspired food, kind of everything else in between. It is certainly all done with the twist right there in Marlowe's, and you're going to enjoy that. Jeff, really appreciate you being with us, and we will look forward to chatting with you soon.
Hey, Brandon, I appreciate it, and I hope everybody, in honor of 1K Day, we're inspired to have bacon, egg, and cheese this morning as well.
Yeah, that's all right. That's the fuel that gets me going each and every morning.
Take it easy, sir.
See him.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Yeah, I mean, just to kind of close the book on what we were just saying there a moment ago, and I mentioned this on the show yesterday, when you see some of the activity going on, one of the reasons why I think a little, you know, the Georgia fan may give that a little bit more attention is because in the case of a lot of these recruits, they have been proven to know what they are talking about. Tate Ratledge in particular. Ratledge says, hey, something's good has happened for UGA. I mean, he's the one that, you know, called the shot for Joshua Braun. And a lot of these other guys have you know, pointed the finger of exactly who they're going to go after, and program went out and got them. So when they're saying, hey, y'all going to thank me later, something along those lines, most of these guys have a track record of really being able to put their money where their mouth is on that, which is kind of fun. Let me talk about my friends at Callaway Gardens for a moment, Callaway Resort and Spa. You know, we were there earlier in the summer, and I got to tell you, this is one of the great escapes in all of Georgia. I like these places that are not very far away because, let's face it, I don't want to, you know, spend 18 hours in a car if I don't have to. But when I get there, I want to feel like I am somewhere, and that's obviously what Callaway Resort and Gardens gives you a chance to do. I can say of all the things that my family did, there is nothing that my family, my children, my wife enjoyed more than the time we spent at Callaway back this summer. The lake is still open, by the way. I know a lot of you have kind of started back to school, but this is still a weekend getaway for you. The lake is still open. They have like that, you know, kind of water park type thing, inflatable water park type thing set up out there in the lake. The golf courses, there are two of them. They are fantastic. Brassey's, a fun place to I think about Kaysen's. Kaysen's a fun place to sit out there and enjoy a great meal and just have a good time. They have a ton of restaurants there. It is all just really, really nice, fun stuff. It's Callaway Resort and Gardens. You can go to callawaygardens.com and find out more about that. Not just the resort itself, but some of the amenities around the resort and some of the cool stuff involved with the gardens. So check that out, callawaygardens.com. Fun stuff on all of that. All right, before we do our Own the East with Georgia's Own Credit Union, take a look at DeAndre Swift and Jake Fromm a little bit more with John Stinchcomb. Let's do a couple of SEC through stories. I saw where Sports Illustrated has put out its preseason top 25. This, as you know, is not an official top 25. This is just a, you know, media outlet's top 25. But I saw where they had Florida ranked at 10th, and they talked about how Dan Mullen is not going to win a national championship this year, but he's, and the quote they use is, he's making Florida into a perennial playoff contender. Where does this stuff even come from? And, you know, if you want to do side by side, you know, the world acts like Georgia is miles away from Alabama, despite the fact the last two head-to-head matchups have been razor thin, where Alabama had to go late into the fourth quarter or into overtime to win the game, and yet the perceived gap between Georgia and Alabama is still thought to be about a yard and a half wide. Whereas, you know, somehow the situation with Georgia and Florida is thought to be this narrow, thin, very, very close thing, despite the fact that Georgia won the last game by 19 points, won the game the year before that 42-7, but somehow Florida's right there nipping at Georgia's heels. I don't know where the data is to back this up, but apparently a lot of folks in the media really like what Dan Mullen's bringing to the table. Also, speaking of kind of preseason prognostications and talk, I saw where USA Today, who is the media outlet that publishes the coaches poll, I saw where they had a list of the teams they thought were overrated in their own poll that they published that the coaches vote on. And I saw, you know, Georgia got some overrated talk from, I think, CBS the other day. USA Today talked about Auburn and Texas A&M. And one of the things that they mentioned for both Auburn and Texas A&M was the fact they play such tough schedules. If I've got it correct, and y'all got to check me on my math on all this, I want to say A&M may play four of the top six teams in the coaches' poll, and I want to say that Auburn may play is it six of the top 14? I think it's somewhere in that neighborhood. And so, therefore, the schedules are the reasons why Auburn and Texas A&M are overrated, which just goes to show you how frequently the media confuses what the purpose of a top 25 is supposed to be. It's not supposed to be a prediction of record at the end of the season. It's supposed to be really more of a power rating of here's who we think the 25 best teams in the country are. And by the way, in this strength of schedule age, the best teams in the country are the best teams regardless of the toughness of their schedule. Good teams are going to lose when facing a tough schedule. But to me, the kind of talk you see in the aftermath of the coaches' poll being released is another example of the misunderstanding that's out there. Good teams are not proven by how few losses they have. Good teams are proven by, more measurable, explainable metrics than that. And the media just seems to kind of get this wrong over and over again. A couple other quick SEC through stories to get to, and we'll kind of wrap this up. Looks like Auburn wide receiver Anthony Schwartz, AL.com and others reporting he's had a hand surgery. He's a big-time speedster, the fastest guy from Florida from that 2018 class a couple years ago. That's a guy they're looking to get back healthy, but he's got a hand surgery that he's dealing with. I saw where Arkansas lost one of its starting offensive linemen the other day to injury there as well. This is the time of year where that kind of stuff's going to be talked about, and it's going to have an impact on how these SEC races go. And we'll follow those stories and we'll come out. And for now, we'll make that your SEC through. All right, here on Dog Nation Daily, as promised, I want to give you a chance to hear what the great former Georgia offensive lineman John Stinchcomb, who was with us yesterday as a part of Dog Nation Daily, with us as well for our Own the East video series presented by our friends at Georgia's Own Credit Union, looking at one of the reasons why Georgia may own the East and a whole lot more this season, the presence of DeAndre Swift, Jake Fromm, not one, but maybe two Heisman contenders. Let's hear more about that with John as a part of Own the East presented by Georgia's Own Credit Union.
Hey Dog Nation, I'm Brandon Adams, and for the last few years, it's safe to say that Georgia fans have been starved for a chance to win a national championship. And many believe the first step towards that is winning the division, getting back to Atlanta, taking care of its business during the regular season. With that in mind, I'm happy to welcome in the great former Georgia All-American John Stinchcomb. And for the third consecutive year, proud to do Own the East, presented by Georgia's Own Credit Union, as the Dogs look to take that first step towards a championship by winning the division and getting back to Atlanta. And John, no doubt one of the things that potentially makes that easier is the presence of maybe not one, but possibly two Heisman Trophy contenders for the Georgia Bulldogs. We don't know if either Fromm or DeAndre Swift will be in New York City, but just to be in that conversation at the beginning of the year, that's clearly a good thing for the Dogs.
Well, it's a testament to the amount of talent they have in Athens now. I think you look at the Heisman race, and to be a contender, that's quite the honor. Do we have someone who can actually win it? Well, look what history shows you. The past 10 years, 8 of the past 10 Heisman Trophy winners are quarterbacks.
Yeah.
But what type of quarterbacks? You got Kyler Murray, you got Baker Mayfield, Marcus Mariota is one of them. Guys that put up Lamar Jackson,
yeah.
Gaudy, run threat, pass deep threat quarterbacks. That's not really what we have. So history might not be as friendly to Jake. And then you look at the two running backs, and it's two Bama guys, Derrick Henry and Mark Ingram, in the past 10 years. And DeAndre is somebody who's, without question, they have the talent. Jake's got the talent. DeAndre's got the talent. You have to put together that special run during a season, right? I mean, you look at the guys that have won it, and they have those years that their numbers pop.
But I think for a lot of Georgia fans, just the idea that you have both these names in a year where, Alabama's got its two. It's got Tua Tagovailoa, probably its wide receiver, Jerry Jeudy. Clemson's got Travis Etienne at running back, Trevor Lawrence at quarterback. If Georgia's going to win a championship, even if Georgia fans are kind of happy with a more of an even distribution of the stats and the glory, just the presence of two guys that have that potential star power, it does make it easier to match up with some of the top teams in college football, does it not?
Absolutely. I think Clemson's a great reference point. They got Lawrence and they have Etienne. They complement one another. Will they feast on each other's numbers? Maybe, but it also leads to that team success. I mean, Heisman Trophy winners is usually an indication for team success. Anytime you have individuals getting those awards and rewards at the end of the year, their teams are doing pretty good. So to have two guys in marquee positions that are in the discussion before the season starts, I think that speaks pretty well for where the program's at.
Yeah, no doubt about that. One thing's for sure is Georgia is on its path to potentially own the East here again in 2019 and maybe a whole lot more. Georgia running back DeAndre Swift, quarterback Jake Fromm will be a big part of that story all season long. Own the East is brought to you by Georgia's Own Credit Union. Make sure you go to georgiasown.org to find out how you can earn 1.25 points for every dollar earned on your Georgia's Own Visa Signature Card. Also find out there how you can find out a whole lot more about how Georgia's Own is celebrating 85 years in business. Check out georgiasown.org for more details.
So I'm looking forward to being able to bring the Own the East series to you, courtesy of our friends at Georgia's Own Credit Union. I'd also invite you to check out my written work that accompanies this at DogNation.com. I took a deep dive in the candidacy for both Swift and Fromm for the Heisman at DogNation.com. That's up there right there today. You can also see later on today at DogNation.com a look at how one of the things that could power Georgia's pursuit to own the East here once again and maybe even win a national championship here in 2019, maybe some of those guys from that 2018 signing class that was once ranked number one overall. Of course, there'll be one fewer now that it looks like Brenton Cox is no longer on the roster, but that will still be a potentially fun catalyst for Georgia here in the 2019 season. We will look forward to that. I will also tell you that I'm proud to announce that our Gatorator Updater has now reached 1,011 days. That's how long it's been since Florida's beaten Georgia. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow right here on Dog Nation Daily.